I want to continue this morning in the same vein we've been in. I want to talk to you about the New Era Church. And actually, I think what we're going to look at this morning would be what we could call just basic fundamentals of how this is what God intended from the very beginning. And I really appreciate that song. I can't tell you how much I sing that to the Lord. I want to know you, to feel your heart, know your mind. Not realizing that feeling his heart takes you into some places that aren't very pleasant, you understand. But when I look at this, and you know, I look into the Word, and there's a cry that says, I want to know you. I want to know you more. And I want to show you how important the Word of God is. And I don't think people have a clue of the impact of the Word in your life. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, I have paraphrased this passage of Scripture, verses 1 through 9, and understand it's a paraphrase, not a word-for-word translation. But I'll promise you that the meaning hasn't changed. Okay? So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, before I read this, let me just give you a little background. Moses in Deuteronomy, the nation of Israel has come up right on the brink of the promised land. Moses' life is getting ready to come to an end. And so Moses is rehearsing to the entire nation things that God has done to bring them out of Egypt. And then he's telling them, just giving them an overview of commands, mandates, statutes that God has given to the nation, that if they will follow this word of God, if you will, that if they'll do this, then they'll be a blessed nation. As a matter of fact, when you get to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, he tells them how blessed they will be. They'll be the above, not the beneath, the head, not the tail. But here, Moses is rehearsing to them these things. And so when we begin with this sixth chapter, first verse, it says, now these are the commandments, statutes, and judgments that the Lord your God commanded to teach you. In other words, he's fulfilling a mandate by God to teach them these things, so that you would put them into practice in the land you are receiving as an inheritance. The purpose of teaching these commandments and statutes is to provoke you and your descendants to revere the Lord your God all the days of your life, so that the longevity of your life will be extended. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and observe to implement these commands and statutes, so that it might be well with you, and that you might increase exceedingly in the land that flows with milk and honey, that the Lord your God promised to you and your descendants. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words that I command you today are to remain in your heart. You are to instill them into your children. You are to talk about them when you sit in your house, when you're walking along the way, when you lie down at night, and when you get up in the morning. You are to tie them on your hands, wear them on your foreheads as a reminder. Also write them on the doorposts and gates of your houses. Do you understand these instructions are not optional? They're a mandate from God. Now you can choose whether or not you follow the mandate, but that doesn't reduce the fact that it's a mandate or negate the fact, okay? And so what he's saying is keep the Word of God before you at all times. Now I want to show you something right out of Exodus to show you how important it is to not let the Word of God leave your eyes. In Exodus chapter 20, God appears to the entire nation. When He comes down on Mount Sinai and the earth shaking and the smoke and this fearful, awesome sight, God verbally speaks to the entire nation. A lot of people just think that the nation got their information in written form that Moses wrote. But did you know in Exodus 20, God is verbally speaking the commandments before they're written? And He starts off with telling the whole nation, you're not to have any gods before you. Then He gets specific. Don't make any molten images, any engravings. Don't worship anything in the heaven, the earth, or in the sea. And later on, He tells them not to make any idols of silver or gold. I mean, God is specific. And this event is so frightful that the nation tells Moses, listen, you go talk to God and you come back and tell us what He says. We don't want to hear God speak. We're afraid we'll die if He speaks to us anymore. Now, you would think that would make an indelible imprint on a person's brain. Something that incredible. So Moses goes up the mountain. Gets in the presence of God. Now he was there 40 days and 40 nights. Within 40 days, they'd forgotten what God said. The nation had forgotten what God said. Moses had left Aaron in charge, Aaron who was going to be the high priest. He had left him in charge, and the people come to Aaron. They said, make us gods. We don't know what happened to Moses. Make us gods. I want you to think about that statement. You make the God you're going to worship. How stupid can you be? And yet people are still doing it every day. People fabricate the God they want to worship. You know what it's called? Religion. Religion fabricates the God it wants to worship. This group says we'll do it this way. This group says we'll do it this way. This group says they'll do it that way. Why don't you do it God's way? He's smarter than you are. But no, we want to do it our way. Make us a God. And you know what they do? Aaron says, well, take your earrings, your gold earrings, and I'll bring them to me. Now, when he gives his account to Moses, Moses said, what in the world is going on, Aaron? He said, well, you know the people, how stiff-necked they are. Well, you know that's why you put leadership there? To hold things in control. You don't let those strong-willed people take over and do something that God doesn't want done. He told Moses, you know, I took all this and I threw it in the fire, and out come this calf. Right. Somebody made a mold for it, you understand. Moses is my kind of man. He ground that thing to powder and made him drink it. Threw it in the water, you understand. Within 40 days, they had forgotten what God says. Although it was, I can't even imagine what that event was like. Can you imagine you standing there in the earth trembling, the mountain smoking, and a voice speaking out to you and given you commands? Now, here's an interesting thing about that. I believe God did that. They didn't see anything. God didn't want them to have a pattern of anything, so where they would try to duplicate Him. You know how God speaks to us? By His voice. You understand? He's still doing the same thing today. But how respectful are we of the voice? See, in Joshua, God told him, after Moses' death, He said, "Do not let the Word of God depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. You meditate on this Word day and night." And here's why you meditate on it: until you put it in practice. You don't meditate on the Word of God for memorization. It's for application. And He said, if you'll keep that Word before you at all times, don't let it stop coming out of your mouth. Well, why would it stop coming out of your mouth? Because you stop looking at it. You stop reading it. He said, if you'll keep it before you at all times, don't let it stop coming out of your mouth, you'll make your way prosperous. You will. You don't have to pray to God to do it, because you're following the Word of God and you're in agreement with God. If you stay in agreement with God, it's going to be profitable for you. And you'll make wise decisions that will lead to success. People say, I don't have time to read, or I'm not a good reader, so I don't read. You know, I can't pronounce those words. Well, are you going to get better at it, neglecting it? You understand, it's not how well you can read. It's not whether or not you can pronounce words correctly. Who knows what the correct pronunciation of some of these names are? Each person just has his own little quirk, and he pronounces it this way. Well, that's not said in concrete. It's not how you pronounce. It's how diligent are you to keep the Word before you until the Word starts talking to you. You start getting the message that God's conveying, not just words on the page, but what's God saying. You follow me? Now, to go back to Deuteronomy, He tells the parents, instill the Word in your children. Now, here's how you do it. When you sit in your house, talk about the Word of God. When you're going along the way, talk about the Word of God. When you lie down at night, talk about the Word of God. When you get up in the morning, talk about the Word of God. Keep the Word of God before your children's eyes. Keep the Word of God going into their ears. Here's what it'll do. God's Word will influence you. So will other peoples. So will the world. But what happened? It didn't do it. Then you get a generation, a couple generations later, they don't know God. They're just doing their own thing. Look at this generation in America today. They don't know God. They got their own fabricated God. Why? Because the parents fail to teach the children the Word of God. I'm telling you, I'm a firm believer. Before they go to bed at night, you read the Bible and you pray. Well, they're sleepy. Wake them up. But get the Word of God in them. Because something is going to influence them positively or negatively. God's Word will have a positive effect on people's life. Basic fundamentals. You got to get it in you first. How can you teach what you don't know? How can you read the Bible to your children when you want to read it to yourself? Because there are going to be questions along the way. And you need to have answers. And I'll tell you how you get that is through personal study, through personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you pass it on to your children. Not just words. There is more to ministry than preaching, teaching, prophesying, and so on. But yet, people have limited that to ministry. Ministry, in reality, is demonstration. There's more to it than proclamation and explanation, or you demonstrate. Jesus demonstrated. Yes, He proclaimed. Yes, He explained. But then He put it into practice. God's Word must be put into practice in our daily lives. And you understand, ministry occurs Monday through Sunday, not just on Sunday. You're a minister on Monday just as much as you are any other day of the week. And in this new era church, ministry is not hierarchy, ministry is not titles, ministry is not papers hanging on a wall. Ministry is common people who are doing everyday jobs representing Jesus on the job. That's the new era church. That's the church that's going to have impact on people's lives. Not the ones that come into a building and hear the titles and some little lecture, some little sermon, all that, and they're just looking for the preacher to do it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not minimizing fivefold ministry. It's a Bible ministry. But the fivefold ministry, and you can read it in Ephesians 4:11, is designed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So who's doing the work of the ministry? The body of Christ. The saints are building the body. And our role is just teach them how. By teaching the Word of God. People would rather read books. They don't want to read the Bible. They want to read what somebody says the Bible says. All you're doing is reading somebody's opinion. What does this say? Now this should be something that you're reading daily. I don't want to go a day without reading this. And I'm not talking about a chapter. I'm talking about reading books of the Bible to where you understand the letter that's written. Not just getting bits and pieces, but you get the continuity. Then you have a better understanding. I don't read to do time. I don't want a chart to tell me how to read the Bible through in a year. You understand? Sit down and have an interest in God. You'll read the Bible through in a year. You don't have to worry about that. If you're truly interested in God, you'll get that Word on the inside of you. And you'll get to where you look forward to the time you spend with the Lord. Basic, fundamental. Read the Bible. This is the new era church. This is where it starts. Read the Bible. You read that until that Word gets in you. And you know what God wants? He wants that Word to take on flesh, just like it took on flesh with Jesus, to where now you as a member of the body of Christ are practicing the Word of God. This is for application. But is it being applied? Status quo church is not applying the Word of God. Status quo church talks about God. They just don't take you into intimacy or relationship that will produce fruit out of your life. God's looking for fruit out of our lives. You follow me? And so when I look at this, and I look at the instructions that God gives, and I look at the examples of the Old Testament, and I think that Word is important, because if within 40 days a nation can forget it, it's because they're not reminding themselves of what God said. How often do you remind yourself of what the Bible says or what God has spoken to you personally? How often do you remind yourself of these things? It should be on a daily basis. We're to have communion with God. And when I say communion with God, I'm talking about it's a fellowship like with another person. No, you're not going to see him tangibly. Don't even look for that. You start looking for apparitions and the devil will oblige you. No, you start looking. This is a heart-to-heart, spirit-to-spirit, God's spirit. So if you're going to know God, you'll know him by the spirit, not by flesh, because he has no flesh on him. You follow me? And so there should be such a desire in us to where we sit around thinking about God. You meditate on him day and night. You understand? You talk to him during the day. Just like he's a person sitting beside him. You just talk to him. It's all right to say, Lord, I love you. I really appreciate the way you watch over me. I appreciate the revelation you give me. I appreciate your protection. I appreciate your provision. But I want you to know that I love you because of who you are. You're love personified. I love your heart. I don't always understand your action, but there's one thing for certain. Your heart's right. I want that heart. I want that heart of compassion. I want that heart that will look beyond faults and focus on the need. How can I help the person, not how can I criticize the person? And this is where the church has been full of criticism. You know, you've got all the critics in the world that want to come and tell you all the things that's wrong. What's right? I'm going to tell you, if you look for God, you find God. You look for garbage, you'll find garbage. But always remember this. You're not perfect either. And so you need to get your mind off of imperfections and look at the perfect one. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know him more. I want to get in his presence to where I reflect him more. You understand, the more you hang around someone, the more influence they have on your life. You'll pick up phrases. You can actually pick up habits. You don't realize how much people influence you. Well, it's the same way by getting in the presence of God. You hang around God. You read this word, I'm not talking about doing time. I'm talking about reading to know what he says. You don't tell it what it says. But you read it, you let the word talk to you. You understand if you read this, this will talk to you as you read it. Other books do the same thing, right? You get into the setting. Now I tell you, when I read, I'm in the setting. I'm at Mount Sinai. You understand what I mean by that? It's like I'm not just reading the mountain shaking. I'm thinking, man, this is a fearful sight. Hebrews said Moses trembled. You understand? You get into the setting and you start hearing. Now, I'm not talking about fabricating imagination and all this type stuff. I'm talking about where God's talking to me. God's talking to me. It's easy to read Exodus and say God's talking to Israel. But if you read the Bible and say, God's talking to me, these instructions apply to me. Maybe not in the same way, but the principle of the instruction applies. Do you think God wants you to have other gods before Him? Of course not. Do you think God wants you to make idols and worship idols? Of course not. But we do it in a different way than they did. We're not making calves. Some are. We're not. But we'll worship it. We'll worship God with possessions, greed, money, hobbies. Well, it's not really worshiping God. Let me ask you this. Are you putting it before God? Is God your priority? Or is this a priority? God more important to you or God? God more important to you or fishing? And I'm not picking on any particular thing. It can be anything. You follow me? I'm going to tell you, education has become the god of many. And that's what's wrong with religion. You have a bunch of educated idiots standing in a congregation and telling them things they don't even know what they're talking about. Don't tell me about somebody you haven't experienced. You don't experience God through education. I don't care how many years you go to a Bible college. You experience God through personal relationship. And if you haven't had a personal encounter with God, then don't be talking to me about God. You don't know what you're talking about. And I'm telling you, the new era church is going to be these carpenters and electricians and mechanics and all these different vocations of life that have experienced God, and they're telling people about their experience. Conviction. And they're in better position to help the person than the guy with all the degrees on the wall. They know the one they're talking about. Not about him, they know him. For many years I knew about God, but thank God I've experienced God. And the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So you can tell me about things, God. If you can tell me the Holy Spirit's not real. I know you don't know what you're talking about, because I've experienced the Holy Spirit. You can say, well, those gifts passed away. Well, you're stupid, because you're blind to what's going on today. They're operating all the time. But because you have willfully closed your eyes to it, you can't see it. That's willful blindness. Jesus dealt with it in His day. We deal with it in our day. And religion has blinded the mind of so many people by not teaching truth. That you take the old ignorant fishermen, they were the ones having impact. Made religion mad, you understand. It's the same thing today. And I believe that you're going to see the majority of ministry done through vocational jobs. Not in some room. It actually fulfilled the commission to go, not tell them to come. See what religion's done? They want to follow Hollywood. Build the dreams, build it, and they'll come. That's not God's way. God says you go to them. Take me wherever you go and let me manifest whatever I want to manifest. That's the New Era Church. It's simply a carrier of the Spirit of God and the Word of God that is not trying to force anything on anybody. But when the door of opportunity comes, it lets its light shine. And when you have a need, it ministers to the need. When people tell you that they're going through this, this, and this, then that gives you the opportunity to see how far you can go with them in ministry. And as long as they'll let you go, pour into them. You understand? You're getting an idea of what this new era church is, and don't go off and try to make a doctrine out of New Era Church. Just understand that we're beginning something, and we We have no pattern to go by other than Jesus' ministry. But today, you have no tangible pattern that you can say, well, we'll follow them. Religion has their patterns and molds. We have the Holy Spirit. In the new era ministry, the new era church is going to be people led by the Spirit of God. You follow? Okay. I believe I've done what I'm supposed to this morning. I hope you getting the idea, and I hope this motivates you to start crying out, Lord, I want to know you. Let me feel your heart. Let me know your mind. If I can feel your heart and I can know your mind, I'll know what to do. I'll know how to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. You understand? So just start crying out. Open yourself up to get that heart of the Father, the mind of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit so we can be effective ministers right here, right now, so God's will can be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That was Jesus' request. Well, let's honor His request. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for counting us trustworthy to represent you in ministry. Amen. Okay, you guys all right? Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed to enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us, you keep us, you make your face to shine upon us. You're so gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you be before you. Amen. Okay, I don't know what we're going to do this evening. He does, so we'll follow his lead. How's that?